Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome in to Monday's edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. For the first time since 2015, your Kansas City Chiefs are under 500. They are in last place in the AFC West at 1-2. The rest of the AFC West is 8-1. The Raiders and Broncos are undefeated, perfect 3-0. And the Chargers, who just beat Kansas City at Arrowhead, are now 2-1. So yesterday in that game, the Chiefs lose 30-24. Final minute of the game. Again, like Baltimore, a lot had to go wrong for this to happen. In my eyes, the Chiefs once again beat the Chiefs. I give credit to the Chargers, but the Chiefs had 4 turnovers and had 1 last Hail Mary shot to win the game. So how nervous are we about this team? They're 1-2, could very well be 0-3, could also very well be 3-0. To start this game yesterday, it really felt like it was going to be a beatdown in the first quarter. The Chiefs' defense, which we harped on all week, they needed to step up. They were going to be missing guys. They were missing Frank Clark and Charvarius Ward. The defense forces a 3-and-out on the first drive of the game. They give it to the offense. The offense is moving the ball easily. Easily. The Chargers were not doing anything against that Chiefs offense in the opening drive. And then it started to turn a little bit. Patrick Mahomes gets flushed outside the pocket. He tries one of those no-look passes and throws it to Marcus Kemp. And it glances off Kemp's hands, and Asante Samuel Jr. makes the interception. That's when you start to think, maybe this isn't going to go the way I think it's going to go. But nonetheless, it's an interception, and the Chargers take over inside their own 5-yard line. The Chiefs defense then steps up again. They force another punt. Here goes the Chiefs offense moving the ball. They get back down inside the Chargers 30. Mahomes throws a dart to Tyreek Hill, who catches and then fumbles. Chargers return it. They set up with good field position. They go down and score. Now you're down 6-0. You think it's over then, right? Hang on to the ball. Somebody on the sideline is saying, hang on to the ball, and we're going to be able to beat this team. Well, here goes the Chiefs offense again. They're moving the ball well. They get inside the Chargers 30, and what do you know? Another fumble. This time, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 1 week removed from his fumble in Baltimore, he fumbles again. And up to that point, he was running the ball phenomenally. Offensive line was doing its job. Clyde was finding the holes, and the Chargers putting no pressure on this Chiefs offense. It was only going to come down to turning the ball over. And once again, this Chiefs offense coughs it up. So Clyde fumbles. Here go the Chargers again. Down the field, they score. 13-0. 3 drives, 3 turnovers. That is not going to win you a lot of football games in the National Football League. But as we all knew, at some point in time, this offense was going to get things turned around. They were going to put up points. It was going to be a close game. And third quarter rolls around after halftime. It was 14-3. Chiefs score on their next 3 possessions. And they take a lead of 17-14 and a lead of 24-21. The problem with yesterday's game, and the reason I'm more frustrated than I was against Baltimore, I truly felt like, until the fourth quarter, the defense did its job to let the offense win this game. They forced a few three and outs. Now, they didn't turn the ball over. At times, they put some pressure on Justin Herbert. They stopped the running game. But the offense did not do its job. Yes, they put up 24 points. They also turned the ball over four times. And they had them come at the worst times in the game. The defense gave up 30 points. That's bad. That's not going to win you games. They also had to come on the field a lot after turnovers, with the offense giving them no points. The offense didn't score a touchdown in the first half. The defense held them to 14 points. And on one of those drives, one of those touchdowns, the Chargers started their drive in Kansas City territory. This defense will need to start creating turnovers, because that's going to be how they win games. That's how they're going to stop opposing offenses. They're not going to hold teams to 10, 13 points. They may hold bad teams to 10 or 13 points. When they face those Buffaloes, those Chargers again, heck, the Raiders, Green Bay, they're not going to hold down those offenses. That's just plain and simple. They got to find a way to turn the ball over or get to the quarterback. One or the other. You put consistent pressure on the quarterback, that leads to turnovers. And for the first quarter, at least yesterday, the defense gave two straight opportunities for the Chiefs to open up a big lead. That game very well could have been 14-0 on the first two drives of the game. Over. Over. Could have been a blowout at Arrowhead yesterday. But just stuff happens. And the way I look at this right now, the way I look at this 1-2 Chiefs team, it's a team that is pressing a lot to try to make the big plays. We are not accustomed under Patrick Mahomes to losing back-to-back games, to losing at home, to losing to divisional opponents. When they've been in these situations the last 2 weeks, a lot of players haven't looked as comfortable with the situation. Yesterday, Lucas Niang, really a rookie right tackle since he sat out last year, got beat up all afternoon by Joey Bosa. Never got good position off the line of scrimmage. Was overpowered. I'm surprised he didn't have more penalties, because Bosa was right in Mahomes' face, it felt like, every other down. That's a guy that's still getting comfort at this level. Marcus Kemp, a guy that has not really had many opportunities to take wide receiver snaps in this offense, kind of showed first quarter. It was a little bit behind him, but you got to catch that. You got to catch that in that situation. You're not really blanketed by anybody. It's a ball you come down with, likely a catch and run to the 5-yard line. Maybe get a few blocks and you score a touchdown. It's going to take a few weeks for those guys to really get comfortable at the NFL level. Marcus Kemp is a veteran guy. Like I just said, though, he has not had many wide receiver reps in this offense. The last thing that shows me that this team is pressing was that Mahomes' interception with less than 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. He mentioned in the Sunday loss to Baltimore, the interception he had in the third quarter was the worst of his career, or one of the worst of his career. You could argue yesterday's was equally as bad. It came at a worse time in the game. And on that drive, you could see on the third down play, Mahomes was going to try to make something happen like he had many times before. He's able to pull something out of his hat and throw it down the field. Tyreek's down there. Kelsey's down there. Maybe McColl breaks free. On the initial reads, though, and it felt like Los Angeles took that away for the better part of 3.5 quarters. They took away Mahomes' first reads, which is what gets the offense going. They used the RPO, Kelce for 7 yards. RPO, Tyreek Hill for 9 yards. And it worked on the drives they were scoring, because this Chiefs offense is going to put up points. When the defense, once again, though, got their first true stop in the red zone, they force a field goal when it was first and goal at the one. When I'm watching that game, I think it's over now. The Chiefs got all their timeouts, marching down the field, set up Harrison Butker to win this game with seconds left. And I think the drive changed that direction. And I have been somebody that praises play calling for the Chiefs. The run on first down, I strongly disagree with. Yes, you were running it effectively. We know, though, the best offense for this team is through the air. And if that run doesn't go well, which it didn't, Clyde only got 2 yards, now you're forced to make a completion, right, on second down. Or you're going to set up a third and long. Well, once again, pressure comes, the first read is taken away, and Mahomes kind of double clutches and fires at the feet of Travis Kelce. 3rd and 8. And with plenty of time left, and I think that's where that pressing mentality came from. They knew if they didn't pick up the first down, the Chargers were going to get the ball back and move down into field goal range and kick the game-winning field goal. And Mahomes rolled out and looked for Travis Kelce deep, and never really looked open. It wouldn't have taken the pass that he threw. It would have taken more of a lower bullet pass, but he's 30, 40 yards down the field. And Mahomes lofts it up there, and you knew in the moment, once you saw Kelce kind of stop running, that was going to be picked off. That interception was Mahomes trying to make up for the mistakes, his teammates' mistakes, earlier in the game. The Chargers get it. They go down the field. And this was the cherry on top of everything. We know this is going to happen week in and week out. Until the defense can stop somebody on fourth down, teams are going to go for it regardless of down and distance if they're in your side of the field. So the Chargers have the ball at the 30. It was going to be a 47, 48-yard field goal, into the wind. I understand that, right? That's a tough field goal. It's still tied, though. It's tied, and there's 40 seconds left. It's the fear, though, of this Chiefs offense and how quickly they can get into a scoring position. Well, false start. A 4th and 4 turns into a 4th and 9. And on that 4th and 9, they're setting up for the field goal. Staley calls a timeout. Chargers head coach Brandon Staley calls a timeout. Regroup. And they bring the offense back onto the field. It would have been a 50-ish yard field goal, I believe it was. 50-51. No, they bring the offense back on the field, very well knowing an incompletion loses them the game. Just like in Baltimore the week before, the Ravens go for it on 4th and 1, 1.5. They fail to convert. The Chiefs get the ball. 1 or 2 plays, field goal, ball game. That's back-to-back weeks, both losses. A team has made this Chiefs defense step up. They had to make a stop. Now, in the Ravens game, stopping on 4th and 1 is a lot different than stopping on 4th and 9 in your home stadium. So the Chargers really had confidence that on a 4th and 9, they were able to convert. They target DeAndre Baker, who was just activated, and they get a pass interference. Then that sets up First and 10. Another big play towards the goal line. Chargers eventually go in and score, and that was it. The Chargers win 30-24. Moving forward, if you don't think teams are going to do that until the Chiefs defense can eventually stop somebody in a crucial fourth down position, they're going to continue to do it. Heck, they're going to do it in the first, second, and third quarter as well. The Ravens started it. The Chargers continued it. If it's close in Philly this Sunday, Philly's going to do it. You know the Bills are going to do it when they come into Arrowhead. It should make you feel good as a Chiefs fan. It's also a hell of a lot more frustrating that teams do not respect your defense enough to end the game right then and there. If that penalty is not called on DeAndre Baker, the Chiefs have the ball at their own 40-ish. And at 35. Two plays here or there. You set up Harrison Butker to win that game. Week before, you stuff Lamar Jackson. One play. And the Chiefs win that game. Two fourth down stops, and this team is 3-0. And two failed fourth down stops, and this team is 1-2. This team is a miraculous throw by Patrick Mahomes against Cleveland that bombed a Tyreek Hill from being 0-3. Now, don't panic. We're going to get into this later in the show. The panic level you should have with this team starting 1-2. And we're going to get into this division, and it's 8-1 start, aside from Kansas City, after the break. The Raiders undefeated, the Broncos undefeated, the Chargers just beat Kansas City, now 2-1. So when we come back, more talk about the AFC West, and how much of an impact can Willie Gay have on this defense when he returns on Sunday. You've listened to The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back into The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. It's another tough Monday in Kansas City as the Chiefs lost again, back-to-back losses, this time to a divisional opponent in the Los Angeles Chargers. They fall 30-24 yesterday, dropped to 1-2, under 500 for the first time since 2015. First time under Mahomes, this team is under 500. Where is the concern level right now? How is everybody feeling? I know the AFC West has looked great. Some of those teams haven't played the best opponents. Nonetheless, it's wins in the NFL. We mentioned before the break, the Raiders win yesterday over Miami in overtime against Jacoby Brissett. The Broncos win 26-0 over the Jets. And, of course, the Chargers beat Kansas City in Arrowhead Stadium. When I look around at this division, the team that should scare you the most, and it's no shock right now, it's the Chargers. The Chargers have gone head-to-head against you, and they've beaten you. And they've put up 30 points in your own stadium. And I always knew going into it, we remember these past Charger matchups. The offense at times has really struggled to get going, especially early. Go back to that Week 2 game against the Chargers last season. The Chiefs had 6 points going into the fourth quarter, I believe it was. That Chargers defense is legit. They've got playmakers, which makes them the top threat right now in the AFC West to take that crown from Kansas City. The Raiders have looked good. I'm not denying. They beat Baltimore. Kansas City didn't. They also beat a Pittsburgh team right now that is in shambles in terms of quarterback play. They put up 10 points against Cincinnati yesterday. And then they go out and beat Miami in overtime at home yesterday against the backup quarterback. The Raiders are probably going to finish somewhere in the 9-10 win area. The Chargers, I think, will reach 11. The Broncos have played three teams that have a combined record of 0-9. So take their start with a grain of salt. They're a 6-7 win team. So Kansas City, you have to win likely 12 games to win this division. You're going to have to go and beat the Chargers in L.A. for that rematch. You have to sweep Denver. And at worst, you have to split with the Raiders. Mark, I'm going to ask you this question. And I already kind of know the answer you're going to give me. But I'm curious of your thoughts. This team is 1-2. And they need 12 wins. Can they win this division going 12-5? Because it's a 17-game schedule.
Yeah, but they have to win out the rest of the divisional games. 12 of those wins have to be, like you said, five of those are coming against teams in the AFC West. I don't think you can afford another division loss. But once again, we talked about it last week. Broncos are the team that is kind of a fake 3-0 right now. Haven't really had a true test of their schedule. Las Vegas, though, I mean, it's still kind of they get the Chargers on Monday night this next week. So next Monday, they still got to play the Bears, which, I mean, but their schedule really favors them right now. I think the Raiders, like the Chiefs, had a really tough three-game stretch that at the beginning of the season, they just managed to get three of those wins while the Chiefs only managed to get one. I mean, the rest of the way, they're playing the Giants. Bengals look tough. Cowboys are tough. Raiders defense, we've seen that, or not Raiders defense, Washington's defense. I mean, they allowed 30-plus points yesterday to Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Not saying the Raiders' offense is like the Bills, but they're not that defense, we've seen we've got an early look of how they fare against a really good offense. And then they play Cleveland. You never want – the Chiefs seem like they always get in this situation where they have an opportunity to decide their fate, but instead they always put it on someone else's shoulders to see where their fate goes, whether it's getting the one seed in the playoffs or what we're talking about now in division finishing out at the top of your division. I think that the Raiders going 3-0 and them and the Chiefs losing a game to the Chargers – it puts them in that situation once again where they're gonna have to just do what they need to do and win football games. But at the same time, they're gonna have to rely on other teams in their division to slip up like they have these last two games and lose a game maybe that they're not supposed to lose. Chiefs were favored by 6.5 points this game, and it flipped on them. That line was probably bigger than it needed to be. But it also was 6.5 points, and the Chiefs still lost almost by 6, too. Or, like, they lost by 6, excuse me. So, yeah, it's one of those things where, once again, we've seen it before late in the season for Kansas City, but now we're seeing it earlier on, and they just got to figure things out and just hope that at the end of the day, the Raiders, if the Chiefs finish with 12 wins, then the Raiders finish with 11 or 10.
You know, I think the job of everybody today in sports media should be taking on the role of a therapist, but also filling those needs for people to vent. You know, people want – I'm not going to sit here and say it's all fine and dandy. Oh, I don't like seeing out there say, oh, you know, it's early, it's fine. Well, yes, it's early. There's also reason to criticize why this team is 1-2. If I'm the rest of the division, though, I'm looking at this and going, we started the way we want to start, but this is probably the worst the Chiefs are going to look all season, in all honesty. If this was happening in week 9, 10, or 11, then you're going, man, I might have a shot to win this division. There's so much football left, and the Chiefs still have to play the Raiders and the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they just played the Chargers. The Chargers are probably feeling good, but at the same time, they go, we forced four turnovers, and Mahomes had a chance to win that game on a Hail Mary. Do you know how much needs to go wrong for this team to lose to a playoff team? How much needed to go wrong in Baltimore to lose? Now, not making excuses. They made the mistakes. That very well could happen against the Raiders and the Broncos, and they could lose. But this team is 1-2. And the pressure other teams in this division feel by thinking, we have to win 11 games. No, we have to win 12 or 13 to win this division outright. And that requires beating Kansas City. And I just said that 12 wins would do it if you're Kansas City. 12 wins, going 12-5, wins this division. And that would require three more losses on this schedule. I don't even know once they get into, man, after this bye week, after the bye week, they've got the Broncos and Raiders at home, then the Chargers. That's the rematch game. Getting swept by the Chargers right now still feels unlikely to me, based off track record and adjustments that'll be made. Then you got the Steelers, and that's a team right now that may finish with six wins with the way they've looked the last 2 weeks. Then the Bengals, another team not going to be as good in the AFC North. And then you finish up in Denver against the Broncos. You could argue after week 12, the Chiefs run through that regular season back half and finish undefeated there. Before this bye week, and this is where it gets interesting, I'm going to go over this next stretch of games. And let's give that buffer of three losses, right? Three losses to go 12-5. They get the Eagles this weekend. I don't want to jump to conclusions because I jumped to conclusions against the Chargers. I thought that was the perfect bounce back game and Kansas City would be able to win that one. And win that one in pretty resounding fashion. I knew it was going to be close, but really come out and make a statement. They didn't. But for Jalen Hurts to beat Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs team on Sunday, it's going to take a miracle. This is not a very good Philly team. And it's a Chiefs team on the cusp of losing three in a row, something that once again hasn't happened since 2015. A lot is going against Philly in that matchup. So you bounce back. You go 2-2. Then you get the Bills on Sunday Night Football at Arrowhead. The Bills look good. I've always viewed it this way, though. The Chiefs seem to play down to competition when they are not, or when they are favored. Okay, Cleveland, they're a better team than Cleveland, played down, almost lost. Baltimore, they were a better team than Baltimore, played down and lost. Chargers, better than Chargers, played down and lost. The Bills may come in and people may have them predicted to win that game. Buffalo coming in. They put up 43 points yesterday. They put up 35 the week before. They're likely going to keep that offense rolling. And I just see that as a game. That is my 2021 turning point for Kansas City. You win that game, then you start to make the rest of the AFC West sweat again, depending on how you beat Buffalo. So let's say in a perfect world, you come out, you play like you did in the AFC Championship game, you beat Buffalo at Arrowhead. You're 3-2. Then you get Washington on the road. I could say that's another win. I like the matchup Mahomes versus Taylor Heinicke. And I like Taylor Heinicke. Washington's defense has not been as advertised this season.
Mm-hmm.
Like we just said, gave up 43 points to Buffalo yesterday. Then if you want to say, okay, the Titans. The Titans are a good team right now. A lot of offensive weapons. Not a great defense. That's another shootout game. Let's put that as a loss. 4-3. Then you get the Giants, I believe, on Monday Night Football. That's a win. 5-3. You get the Packers at home. Again, it's one of those, that Bills situation of, playing up to competition. Depending how Green Bay is, Green Bay may be favored in that game. But if we're going to play it safe here, let's say that's a loss. So they'll be 5-4. Then you just got to beat the Raiders and the Cowboys to go 7-4 heading into the bye week. And you have a loss to spare in that back half of the schedule, as we just mentioned, for one loss. And that's with two losses against the Titans and the Packers. And when I look at mid-season crises or late-season crises, go back to 2019. You remember how everybody felt when the Chiefs lost to the Titans on that blocked field goal? And they dropped a 6-4 as Mahomes' first game back after the injury. He threw for over 400 yards, looked unstoppable.
Yeah.
And this defense lost the game. They're 6-4, not a big lead in the division, and you're reeling at that point. You know what Kansas City did after that? They won every single game to close out the season. Every single game. They were 6-4. They then nearly lose to the Chargers in Mexico City. They go 7-4 and then off to the races.
Mm-hmm.
Off to the races. I mean, just blew through the regular season. And you win in the postseason. Losing now is bad. And falling into last place is bad anytime in the season. I'm still, if I'm a Raiders or Broncos fan or Chargers fan, waking up this morning, I feel good. My team has done what it's needed to do. I'm undefeated, or if I'm the Chargers, I just beat the team to beat in the AFC. I'm still not so confident. I'm really not. Because there's 15 games to go. If I'm the Raiders and Broncos, you still got to play Kansas City. And those losses happen very few times in the season. The Chiefs have those losses where they shoot themselves in the foot about 3 times a year. And sometimes it's all their losses in the regular season. The one that comes to mind for me, and I don't know why this is, was that Seattle game in 2018 where I feel like that was the one time, and I could be wrong. I know there's been a handful of losses since then. I feel like that was truly the one game that stuck out to me where a team just beat Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes straight up. It was Seattle had the better team. It was on Sunday Night Football in Seattle, and you're facing Russell Wilson, and they beat Kansas City straight up. For Kansas City to lose the rest of the season in any of these games, and they're going to lose again. I don't think they're going to go undefeated from here on out. I still right now think it's going to be from beating themselves. There's too much talent. And it's just, that's how teams beat you. That's how teams beat the good teams. Any team right now. That's how teams beat Tampa Bay. Right now, it's going to be how teams have to beat LA, the Rams. You got to force mistakes. Because it's not going to happen where you just beat a team like that straight up. So the Chiefs are in a bad spot right now. It's a spot that in 3 weeks from now could look a lot different. You win these next 3, you're 4-2, depending on what the other teams do. We know next Monday night, as Marco pointed out, it's the Chargers and the Raiders. One of those teams is going to lose. That helps you. Now one wins. You hope it's the Chargers so that the Raiders can be 3-1, Chargers 3-1, and you're a game back of first place. Don't even think about it. You know what? If you're looking at the standings, don't look at the standings right now. A lot's going to change between now and December. So the AFC West is scary. It's better than I thought it was going to be. It's going to look a lot different, though, in a few weeks. You know the teams that are playing good right now? It's not sustainable. Any team undefeated right now, it's not sustainable. You can build as big of a lead as you want, but until you actually clinch that division, the rest of the AFC West teams are going to feel like the Chiefs are breathing down their neck. And now I want to talk about this Chiefs defense. And I'm going to start it off with a question to Marco. We all know Willie Gay is going to be back on Sunday. He's missed the first three games, and to be honest, I think it showed how desperately they need him.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers yesterday really picked on this Chiefs linebacking core. A lot of RPO, play action, right at the linebackers every single time. Willie Gay is your best linebacker, period. I think Willie Gay is the best linebacker on this team. How much does he change this defense, and is it enough to rattle off 5-6 wins and really altering this defense?
Changes it significantly. I honestly think that when Willie Gay returns, hopefully at 100% healthy for the Week 4 game, that not only will it help the Chiefs pass rush a little bit, but as also just the pass coverage. Like you mentioned, the RPOs yesterday, which was kind of what we saw, the way that the Ravens bullied the Chiefs with the read option plays. That's what the Chargers did yesterday. That was their way of bullying the Chiefs defense by running RPOs, which is crazy because usually it's the other way around with the Chiefs doing it to the Chargers. But I think, once again, it adds a young veteran linebacker to that depth, along with Nick Bolton, who's a high IQ. It's an interesting trio of linebackers. You have the longtime linebacker in Anthony Hitchens. Where's the green dot? You have the young, high IQ first Chiefs pick of this last year's draft in Nick Bolton. And then you have Willie Gay, who was a second-round pick not too long ago, but also has made a big impact as far as the rush defense with the tackling and just his ability to read the quarterback's eyes and turn that into a pretty much solid pass coverage. And I think that right there, when you can run out your best slate of players, we didn't see it yesterday with the Chiefs defensive line because Frank Clark was hurt. Didn't see it in the secondary because Charvarius Ward was out of the game as well as inactive. But just adding that third piece to that linebacker room, and I think the difference between Neiman and the three guys ahead of him on the depth chart, I think the impact is significant. Not saying I hope to see Neiman's snap count drop a little bit more. It's now less than Bolton's. I think Bolton had 50-something yesterday and beat Neiman at 30 snaps in yesterday's game. But obviously you're starting to see that the defensive coaches, Andy Reid and two, are starting to trust more in the rookie linebacker in Bolton. So getting Willie Gay Jr. back with Bolton and Hitchens, I just think it solidifies that slate, like I said, slate of linebackers. It helps Spagnuolo and Reid prepare, get the defensive game plan ready for who they're going up against week to week. It just helps having your better players back. And that is something that the defense needs consistently. They need their top 11 guys out there all the time because, unlike yesterday, we saw, like you said, and it could have been a 14-0 game if the offense doesn't turn the ball over early because the defense did a really great job right off the bat. But also in the late games when your guys are getting tired and you have to bring in a fresh Ben Neiman, you want to bring in a fresh Ben Neiman in the third or fourth quarters, not the first and second. You want a fresh Baker. You want to fetch DeAndre Baker in the third and fourth quarters, the late rounds when both teams are just slugging at each other, trying to pull out a W. You want those guys late in the games when they haven't played so much, so that they're fresh. They know what's going on after first couple of quarters, haven't seen what other teams' offenses are doing. But that's what's just going to add. It's also just probably a boost of morale for the defense. Also, just to have one of your top guys back in the lineup week to week. And man, the linebackers already needed so much help before the season started. Having Willie Gay back, it's gonna be a significant help and hopefully noticeable one when they go on the road to Philadelphia next Sunday.
And we talk about that game in Philly next weekend. And it is one right now If I'm a sports fan, I want it to be Sunday already. After every loss, you don't like waiting all week. If I'm making my prediction now, this is a very big week for the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's say you go in, you know what? Even if they win, let's say they go in and win 31-10, right? Defense, you think, looks really good on paper. Yeah, this Philly offense isn't that great, okay? It's not. It hasn't gotten there yet. The Chiefs need that win badly to erase what's happened the last two weekends. Then you're 2-2. The Broncos have to play the Ravens. It is at home. It's also the first team they've played that's actually won a game. So if the Ravens win that, you got Denver at 3-1. If the Chargers beat the Raiders, you got 3-3-1 teams. The Chiefs are a game back of all of them. And I know I just said, don't look at the standings. But you'll just feel better than you did this morning, looking at the standings, if you did, and you see two undefeated teams and a team that just beat you, and you have more losses than those three teams combined. This Sunday, this coming Sunday, has a chance to really just get that bad taste out of your mouth. They're not going to be playing that good of a team. We get to see Philly tonight against the Cowboys. That'll be your test. That you'll get to see them firsthand just how good the Philadelphia Eagles are. Andy Reid's coming back for the first time since 2013 to Philly. Last time the Chiefs played the Eagles in Philly, I think Michael Vick was the quarterback. I could be wrong on that. That's how long it's been since the Chiefs come back to Philly. Andy Reid is looking for his 100th win as head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't see the Chiefs losing three in a row. Their defense will be healthier. You're going to see a very angry team. And they go out and they win that game. And we know how much a win in the NFL does for a fan base. You go to work the next day happier. Everything just feels better. You watch the rest of the games happy. It feels good. And it's just as good when you see other teams in your division losing. And even if, let's flip the script, okay? The Broncos win. Again, they beat the Ravens. Well, they beat the Ravens. Now the Ravens have the same record as you do. The Raiders beat the Chargers. Now you got the same record as the Chargers. So there's a lot of things that can go right in the Sunday. But take care of business, step one. Beat Philly. Get back on the right track. Set yourself up for a monumental game against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday Night Football. Your return to Arrowhead after the loss to L.A. I'm not going to panic, and that's what we're going to talk about after the break, the panic level right now. And we're going to get into that. And the number-wise, 1 through 10, what's the panic level going to be? When we come back on the shift, along with the panic level, I want to talk about comparing the Chiefs to another NFL team that has the same exact start as they had. You'll be sitting in the shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back into the shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. As always, I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. We wanted to compare the Chiefs right now to another team in the NFL that is literally going through the same exact problem. Okay, the Chiefs, as we mentioned with this AFC West, they are 1-2 at the bottom. The rest of their division is 8-1. The Seattle Seahawks are 1-2, and the rest of their division is 8-1. Two undefeated teams at the top, and the Rams in Arizona. San Francisco just lost last night, was an Aaron Rodgers drive away from the rest of their division being 9-0. But when you look at Seattle, are you counting them out right now? Is that a team that's going to finish in last place in the NFC West? No, they got Russell Wilson. I asked the same question for the Chiefs. Is that a team that's going to finish in the bottom of the AFC West with Patrick Mahomes? No. In fact, the Chiefs have an easier road to the top than the Seattle Seahawks do. When you compare these teams, though, and the way I've seen their last two games, so Seattle lost to Tennessee at home. That was a very comparable game to the Ravens one. They lost to Tennessee 33-30. They had that game in the bag and they lost it, just like the Chiefs did to the Ravens. But they had actually a worse loss than Kansas City did yesterday. They lost to Minnesota, who was winless on the road, 30-17. Their only win is against the Colts, who are winless. So Seattle's 1-2. They got a ways to go. The Chiefs are 1-2. They got a ways to go. Both have top five quarterbacks in this league. Both offenses have two legit weapons in their offense. Kansas City, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. Seattle, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. The rest, piecing together, I would say. Piecing together that offense. Marco, if I'm missing anybody, feel free to chime in if I'm missing a Seattle player, Kansas City player. I thought Mecole Hardman played great. Still can't week in to week out. I got to see more. I'm high on that possibility. Still got to see more. Seattle, they got Chris Carson at running back. Chiefs, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Both guys, you could argue, in terms of production, a little bit comparable. Defense, a problem for both teams right now. And the reason I point this out, and why I wanted to compare these teams, is because these are two really good teams. And nobody's going to rule them out right now. And there's literally another team going through the exact same thing Kansas City is. And that always makes you feel better when you see your team struggling. Well, is there another good team that's going through the exact same things? In fact, there is, and it's creepy how identical their situations are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the NFC West is a much better division than the AFC West. Right now, to win that division, Seattle's got to go through San Francisco and their defense, Arizona, who Kyler Murray's been one of the best quarterbacks so far, and the Rams, who are the best team in the NFL, and they showed that yesterday. So there is a team out there with a worse situation, but a very comparable team. A really good quarterback, two really good weapons on offense, struggling defense. And that's where I would say that the panic level shouldn't be too big if you are a Chiefs fan, okay? If you are panicking, if this is an 8 or a 9 for you, just take a little bit of a step back and realize that other good teams are going to struggle early on. Another thing I want to compare to, you remember when the Chiefs just humiliated New England?
Yeah.
In that Thursday night game, I believe it was. Monday night, excuse me. Broke the decibel record.
Day after the Royals won the wild card.
Yep. And it was everybody said, well, this is the end of the New England dynasty.
Yeah.
Tom Brady didn't look good. And that was a team that went on to win the Super Bowl. Early season struggles are going to happen. Sometimes it shocks you. And I think more so because coming into the season, Patrick Mahomes hadn't lost in September, hadn't thrown an interception in September. Now he's thrown 3 in 2 weeks. I expect them to get a lot better. I expect this defense to improve. It's going to get healthier. We can all be mad. And I'm still upset about last night's game, or yesterday afternoon's game. Heck, I'm still getting over the loss to Baltimore. The thing is, though, once a win happens, then things start to feel better. You can start to see the bright side of things. I could be wrong, but I'm going to go out and say that this is probably the worst it's going to get for Kansas City this season.
Mm.
They may lose again, and I think they will lose again. I just don't see it happening in succession like this, the way they've been losing. Eventually, this team is going to turn it around. And eventually this team is going to look just like they were last season, the year before. The team to beat in the AFC and still a Super Bowl contender. Before we wrap things up today on The Shift, we want to get to our favorite segment of Fact or Fiction. 5 questions, 5 takes in under 5 minutes. Marco, fire away.
All right, Jack, Fact or Fiction. The Chiefs will win the next 5 games.
I remember this being very similar to a question we had last week of can the Chiefs, does this look like a team that's going to rattle off a bunch of wins? I said yes, and that included beating the Chargers. They didn't do that. The Chargers still are a playoff team. Those are three teams I've just played that I think are going to make the postseason. They still do have a little bit of a tough stretch with Buffalo and the Titans coming up, but two of those wins are against, or two of those games are against NFC East teams. And the Eagles and Washington, both on the road. Still like my outcome in that. The Bills, like I said, when they play up to competition, I feel better about that game. I could see them beating Buffalo. And the Titans, again, that's on the road. It's a game you may look at and say, they could lose that. I could say, I think they have to go 3-2. Have to. I'm not going to be shocked if it's 5-0. I'm going to go fiction for now. Because I still think that Bills and Titans game is a little bit iffy to me. I think that Titans more so. So I'm going to go fiction. The Chiefs will not win their next five games. I'm going to say they're going to be 4-1, though.
Factor fiction, the Chargers are the Chiefs' biggest threat in the AFC.
Right now, for me, it comes down to the Bills and the Chargers. And I want to take out a little bit of the recency bias in losing to the Chargers. I think the Chargers are the biggest threat. I think they've given the Chiefs' offense the biggest problems because they have a lot of talent on that defense. Derwin James is a guy that's able to handle Travis Kelce better than other guys in this league. Joey Bosa's a elite pass rusher. They were able to double Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce on a lot of drives pretty effectively yesterday. Right now, I'm going to give the edge to the Chargers over the Bills. I want to see how Buffalo plays against Kansas City in 2 weeks. But for the time being, because that's the question, the Chargers right now are the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC. So fact on that.
Fact or fiction, Sunday will spark the running game for Kansas City.
Now, the running game looked pretty good on Sunday. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 100 yards rushing. They were able to get 4, 5, 6 yards per carry, it seems like, on their good drives, moving the ball well. And Patrick Mahomes did mention that this running game was on the cusp of breaking out because the offensive line was getting more comfortable playing together. I'm going to go fact on that as well. I think that yesterday was no fluke. I think they're really going to start having a better running game. It's going to get more creative. They're going to face some teams that aren't as good defending the run. I know the Chargers weren't great at defending the run. They need it, though. You have a good running game. This offense has endless amount of opportunities. So, fact, Sunday is going to spark a good stretch of running games for Kansas City.
Fact or fiction, the Chiefs need to win more than 11 games to win the West.
I know we already talked about this earlier on the show. It's going to be fact for me. I think 12 right now is the mark to get to comfortably win this division. Mm-hmm. Yes, the Broncos and the Raiders are 3-0. If you tell me right now that they have to win 13 games, or they're going to win 13 games, I'd call you crazy. I'm sorry that team, those teams have not done that in quite some time. The Chargers, on a very good year, could get to 12, 13 wins. I still don't see that happening either. I got to wait and see what happens over these next couple weeks. I think 12 wins does it for Kansas City. So, fact, they need to win more than 11 to win the AFC West.
And finally, fact or fiction, the Chiefs don't lose to anybody in the AFC West the rest of the season.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say fact on that. I think that this team, I'm still going to take their track record over every team in this division. The Raiders, I think, are going to give them a really good shot in Vegas because they've looked good, and that offense is scary right now. They know what, they got a lot of weapons on that offense, and they're doing it without Josh Jacobs. I still like what I've seen from the Chiefs offense enough that it's only going to get better, and this defense is only going to get better once they get healthier. So, fact, they're not going to lose again to the AFC West opponent. I may eat my words, but you know what? That's the way it's going to be. With that, that'll wrap up another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. Same time tomorrow, more Chiefs, 10 AM. You take it easy, Kansas City.